Our guest tonight is a once-in-a-lifetime kind of artist. His upbringing was sprinkled with experiences with legendary artists like James Brown, Sam Cooke, and Patti LaBelle. His newest album, if I'm pronouncing it right, Die Rozelle, reflects his brilliance as a person and as an artist. It ties together powerful messages over soulful boom bap production. It is hip hop at its finest. And we're going to dig into that album, his upbringing, and more right now. So please, will you please join me as we give a big old welcome to Neek.
Neek.
Yeah. What's up, Neek? How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure. It's an honor. I don't take it lightly, man. Thank you for reaching out to me, allowing me to be on the platform. I really appreciate it, man.
Yeah, man. No doubt, man. After I heard that recent album, man, I was like, man, I would love to talk to you about that album and more. But, you know, something I read about you on your website is this upbringing you had, where you had, experience with, like, these legendary artists, like I mentioned in the intro. Can you share, like, what was that like, and what were those connections like to those artists?
Well, the connections was through my dad and my uncles, called the Kelly Brothers. They was a gospel soul group. My dad was signed to Excello Records, Federal Records, one of the record labels that James Brown was on. So he would tour. He was like one of the main artists at that time in, like, the mid to late 60s. So he did gospel, then he transitioned over to R&B. So he would tour, you know, Chitlin' Circuit tours, you know, all throughout. So he was, you know, doing shows with them alongside. I mean, Patti LaBelle was opening for him for years when he was doing music, you know. But then my connection in terms of that whole aspect is, like, my dad, he stopped doing music maybe around mid 70s, but I wasn't even born yet. So I had to go back in his archives and ask him questions, because my dad didn't really talk about his musical background. I had to, like, dig in. Like, I would see records around the house, or, you know, people would mention stuff about, man, remember when y'all did this? And I'm like, you never told me that. So it kind of sparked a lot of those conversations where he would tell me about, like, some of his experiences, you know, how the record business was, and, you know, how it was back then touring with those people, and kind of just the whole experience, especially being Black, you know, and in a lot of those areas where there was a lot of different cultural challenges, you know, operating in those areas. So that's kind of like my connection is really through my dad and my uncles, who was a group called the Kelly Brothers.
Man, wow. Do you have what's your relationship? Is your dad still with us now?
Yeah, he's still here. Yeah.
Okay. What's your relationship with him now?
Oh, it's great. It's great now. He be chilling. He stay out in the stay in Chicago South Side. He stay out in the west suburbs of Chicago, Bolingbrook, Illinois. So
Stop it. Yeah. Stop it. I graduated from Bolingbrook High School, brother.
Oh, you did?
I graduated from Bolingbrook 92.
92. Oh, man.
Yeah, my mother and brother are still in Bolingbrook right now. They still live there.
Man, you might know my brother, Dan Fisher. You might know him.
The name sounds familiar. I might. Yeah. Name sounds real brother. Familiar.
He graduated from out there. I think it was like 91, 92, same year.
I know. I definitely know him, man. He probably know my older brother, Corey Walker. All of us. Yeah, man. Bolingbrook. Yeah. Look at this. Look, see how we do, Till?
I love it. I love the connections
it's
being made.
It's thick.
Yeah. It's thick, yeah. I'm curious. It's really fascinating how you grew up with those influences, you know, with your dad and his group. Did you get into hip hop before you got into other forms of music, or did you get into other music and then, like, transition into hip hop?
No, it was, well, I got into music overall just, like, listening to it. I was more kind of like I was the kid that used to put my head by the speaker, you know, everybody be partying and kicking it and having fun. And, you know, I'm watching my parents and all of them, like, you know how it is on a Saturday night. They all drinking, hanging out with my uncles and aunties. And I was the kid with my head by the speaker. So I'm listening to Marvin Gaye. I'm listening to Al Green. I'm listening to B.B. King, you know, Johnny Walker. Like, I'm just kind of like listening to the sounds. I was just always like, I just love the music, the musical aspect. But as far as when I started like creating, my brother, who goes by the name of Mischief back then, he was producing and creating music. And I was just kind of like following him, just trying to be like him. You know, I'm going in the studio. I'm like, hey, man, let me get a piece of that. He like, no, because you're not serious, you know. So I was just kind of like intrigued with just the whole creation part, you know, the creation aspect of it, you know, from the production and just the songwriting. And he would just, you know, kind of let me, okay, well, this is how you write a 16. So write something. Okay, no, that don't sound good. You might want to think about it like this. I'm like, okay, let me try again. And he kind of like coached me in that way. And then that was kind of like when I was like 17, 18. And then I kind of stopped, you know, went to college, you know, focusing on my education. Then eventually when I came back home from school, I went to Western Illinois, came back home from school, and I just started picking it up again because he was always still doing it. But then he started kind of like falling off with it. So I kind of just, you know, took those lessons from him and just kind of built upon it and said, okay, well, I got to start networking. I got to start getting on the scene and start, you know, introducing myself. But music for me, I was just, you know, I was just listening to what I could. I wasn't that guy who knew all of the records, all of the artists. Mm-hmm. I was kind of like discovering stuff late. People like, we was on that 3-4 years ago. And I'm like, really? So I was that guy. And I was just kind of, you know, networking and getting my feet wet and just kept on with it.
How did your dad and his brothers respond to hip hop as hip hop became more prevalent and, you know, and as you got into hip hop more, were they cool with it? Was there some pushback like, oh, this ain't music?
No, my dad wasn't feeling it. He didn't have an appreciation for rap until more recently, I would say over the last 10, 15 years. But back then it was kind of like, it was just a cultural difference. That wasn't what they was used to.
Right.
They looked at like hip hop in a sense where, okay, now you're still in music because it's not your music. You're sampling music and you're not actually singing. He would always make a joke. Like if you couldn't hold a note in the studio, they would never let you in. So but then as he started getting more appreciative of the art form and then seeing like kind of my process in it, he started saying, okay, well, there is a science to it. There is a skill to it. There is, you know, it's not just you just putting words together. Like you're actually telling stories. You actually have something to say. You're actually being very intentional about how you sample stuff. You're not just taking stuff and calling it yours. So he started getting more of an appreciation for that, especially when he would hear an actual song and then see a reproduced version of it. And he's like, wow, like that's a totally different thing like that you did there. So he started to grow an appreciation for it in that way.
That's cool. Before I throw the bow for a question about some of the stuff that you're doing outside of music, Pro, anything that you wanted to jump in with?
I'm gonna hold this until we start talking about the album, because you just said something that sparked. I just made sure I wrote it down because I want to make sure I mentioned it.
Cool. All right. Yeah, I want to throw the bow for his question.
Yeah, thanks, man. I enjoyed hearing a little bit of your journey and your family background. I noticed one of the first things I noticed when I started listening to your music and went to your website, it's like, this is visually really well put together. Stowe, member of our crew, is a publicist, and so his big thing is get a damn website, like and you got it. Like, and so I also noticed that you have a company, Neek Imprints, correct? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it seems like a big part of that is serving other artists and helping people get connected and kind of know how to run their business and create and let people hear it. So I just wanted to ask, what is your long-term vision for Neek Imprints? And do you have like 5-year, 10-year plans for it?
I wouldn't say 10-year, maybe 5-year. I mean, at this point, my whole inspiration behind it is like music is a business. It really is. it's not the end all and be all in terms of like the total focus, but I think as an artist, we should be educated and aware of how the business works. Kind of a little inspiration behind that is like my going back to my dad, you know, a part of the reason why he couldn't no longer do music after a while because he was signing really bad contracts. So now we fast forward to 2023 and he doesn't own any of his music. And it was just intriguing to me. Like we talk about all the time. I'm like, Dad, I'm listening to your music and you don't own any of it as far as the writing and the publishing. So that in and of itself became a route for me to say, you know what? I do think that it's important for us to be educated on the business side of music and not just go and create and put our art out in the world in and of itself, like it's precious, it means something. And we should treat it with honor and respect. And that's kind of like where I'm at with it, but it's more of a, from a consulting perspective. So 5 years right now, man, it's like, I'm just want to build out workshops with different aspects of how to do certain things like trademarking, writing, publishing, sync licensing, you know, things of that nature, because I want to, because everybody doesn't have to be the artist, right? There's different aspects of the music industry that you can thrive in. You can be a songwriter, you can be a producer, you could be in management. So there's a lot of different fields of music that you can thrive on, and it's a whole economic engine. And I think that it's important for us to take care of that and grow in that.
Yeah, I love that. Just to be able to make sure, like one of my friends, Derek Miner, has an organization called Ownership is the New Black. And he's all about helping people take control of their own artistic creations. And I'm so happy you're doing that. And is there a way if people want to, you know, procure your services that they can reach out to you on your website or anything like that?
Yeah. Well, as of right now, the only thing that I'm typically focusing on is just kind of blogging. But then also we have a new series that we just started in partnership here in Chicago called For the Culture. So I'm bringing in a lot of other creatives to basically host these panel discussions where not only do we talk about different aspects of like the music industry, in this month, we're talking about curation. We actually are building a database. So right now, the best thing that I can offer now is that we're building an actual database here in our city, and then we'll eventually expand without, but just for people to connect with each other. A lot of times here in our city, one of the main issues that we always hear about is we don't support each other. We don't rock with each other. So it's like, okay, let's kill the narrative and let's create a database where we have access to one another. So in the event that you want to reach out to somebody in collaboration with video or in collaboration with production or event curation, you have access to it as a resource. And that partnership that I'm working with right now live is with the Silver Room. So a lot of that stuff is in the incubation phase. We just got done with our second event. We're doing our third event this coming Monday. So that's kind of where the resource is coming at now, is the community and networking.
Nice. Thank you so much.
Yo, Till, we got somebody else in the room.
Yeah, who do we got, bro?
We got the one and only Chicago's own, the super producer, super MC, Rashid Hadi in the building. Y'all know how it go.
Yo. Peace, y'all. Y'all can hear me good?
Yeah.
We can hear you, man.
What's good, guys?
Man, just chilling, man. Living life.
You bro, know? You How all you over the place, man. Rashid everywhere.
Hey, speaking of being everywhere, I'm not sure if I told you this, but when I got that last Sky Zoo album, well, two back, the joint Best Eyes Burning, I, you know, ripped up packaging, whatever, saw the production credit, saw your name. I was like, what? Man.
Yes, sir.
In recent years, man. So thank you for that song,
yes,
man.
Yes, sir.
That song,
that's family right there. That's family now.
Yeah, that's great. So right on. Glad to have you on, man. And right as we were talking about community, having you come on. So perfect timing, man. Thanks for being
Absolutely.
Here. And would love to have you join us for this conversation we're about to have, which is about Neek's new album, Die Worth Sell, And I would invite everyone that's listening right now to make sure you go get this album. It's on all streaming platforms that I'm aware of. It's on the Bandcamp page, the website. You know, I suggest buying. You just buy this one. You can take it from me. Sometimes you got to sample music. Make sure it's worth the purchase. This one is certainly worth the purchase. And I want us to start with the intro. Yeah, of course, man. I appreciate you for making this. I wanted to start with the intro. The intro features Nina Simone comes on singing. And then you have excerpts from different leaders. Malcolm X, I think it was James Baldwin. I think Dr. King was on there. The last person that was speaking was talking about society. But I didn't know. I didn't catch who that was. Who was the last person on there?
Dr. Amos Wilson.
Okay, Amos Wilson. Mm-hmm. So he talked about society is basically people, and society can't exist outside of people. And I thought that was interesting. And I was just curious to know why you ended the intro with that, and what that, you know, that idea means in context, you know, over the around the album.
Yeah. So as far as with that part of the conversation, Dr. Amos Wilson talking about society, that we can't operate in society without people deciding what society is, right? Like we think that society is a construct, but really people create the construct. So when we think about a lot of, well, the overarching context of the album, we talk about a lot of the issues that we've been through is African-Americans in this country from a American context. A lot of the way in which we think about our lives is we think about it in a systematic way. We think about the system, right? And what we come up against every day and what we have to navigate through. But the system is only a reflection of the people. So just kind of dealing with that aspect of thinking that while we are talking about this being a system, it's really just people. And the system is an illusion. You know, it's not real. It's a made up construct. And everything that we suffered through and went through, and the things that even we believe we suffer through now, which is, I mean, evidently true in some aspects. No, we're not going to get into the particulars of it, but it's still people. At the end of the day, it's a group of people, human beings, because race is a made up construct, a group of human beings that are operating in this quote unquote system. So I wanted to put that out there for the listener as you go through these songs to know that while we're talking about the things we're struggling with, what we're dealing with, what we've been through, that it's at the end of the root of it, it's how we believe and think about these things as people, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Pro and Bo and Rashid, I'm curious to know, as you listened to this album, What was like kind of your first immediate response to it? And we'll start with Pro.
My first immediate response, I'm going to go right to what you said about what your father said when he said that what you're doing is intentional. Every skit, brother, every song on this album, the song title to how they all connect, I could tell was very, very intentional. And it made me more attentive because it wasn't just a clever interlude or a clever skit. You know what I mean? Like you were very, very direct with those skits and with those interludes. And I appreciate it because it makes you listen. And then like Till said, like who the last person was, Dr. Amos Wilson. Like that's why I had to write it down, because I didn't know who that was. Cause I wanted, you know, I need to go do some more research on that. Like that's what it is. It's like building community, which is what hip hop is. And this album, I felt like, was exactly that. It's building community with a whole bunch of knowledge in there. And I wanted to ask, like, what's the meaning of the title? I didn't understand it. So rather than trying to assume, let's ask the artist, like, man, what's the meaning of the title?
Yeah. The title is just, it translates out of German. It just means the root. So it's just dealing with the root cause of everything that we're going through and we're talking about. It really is just that. It's just the root.
Dope.
Yeah, it's dope. Yeah. Bo, how about you? What was your first impression?
So my first impression was actually a visual impression of the cover and the artistic interpretation that I had was, you know, seeing the church and seeing sort of raw. So I thought this is going to be a raw album. But then seeing the church, it was like, this is also going to be a spiritual album. Like it's going to speak to deep things. So it's exactly what I got. Hit track one to track two. It's like, this is just raw hip hop, but it comes with something that's really going to make me think and think about how I interpret reality and the systems that I live in and that have control over my mind. So man, that album cover, I think really embodied what the album was sonically as well.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Great. Yeah. It's dope. How about you, Rashid? What was your first response to this album after hearing it?
First response that I was thinking, like, especially listening to that first intro is these messages need to be taught in the home, you know, by parents to their, you know what I'm saying, pass these ideas down. You know, one message that really I can identify with is, like, I believe it was James Baldwin. And he was saying about, like, you only really taught what's in the books. They only teach you what's in the books. So
yeah,
it's more stuff. Like, say, for instance, take for reference the things that's happening in Chicago right now, this past weekend with all the looting and all the rioting and all of that. And it's like, you know, yeah, it's all about going out and having a good time. But why you gotta you know what I'm saying? Why gotta be anarchy at the same time? You could just go out, find you somebody to, you know, snuggle up with, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Get intoxicated, have a good time, listen to some good music loud, you know, and chill with your people. But why is fighting and robbing and all of that a part of it? But it's taught. You know, they learn that. That's not something that's just everybody programmed to do. That's learned, you know, even though, I mean, it's the same sense when it comes to programming, but it takes that message coming from home to really, like, drive it through to the receiver, because who else you going to listen to but your parents, you know, especially at a young age. Now, you get too old, you know, once you get older in them teen years, it's hard to tell somebody. They figure they got it. Their mind made up, but if they learn these messages as youth, you know, as little 5-year-old babies, you know, it probably would be a different story. So that's why I feel like these messages, like, drive home that just everything all of those leaders and, you know, just strong Black men were saying drives home to our youth, you know, and kind of lets you know why we're here at this point now in time, where, you know, our great grandparents and grandparents came here from the South. We went up here in Chicago forever, you know, so we're here for a reason. All of this is like a chain of events that happened. Where all of this happened, we didn't just appear here. It's things that happened that caused us to be here at this point today. So while we out looting and robbing and kicking people windows in, driving past, just minding their own business.
Yeah.
So if you think about the messages in that intro, even with Nina Simone in the background, you know, somber as ever, blood on the leaves, strange fruit hanging from the trees. You know, it's history behind that. And it's why we here right here in Chicago to this day, but to see our youth being this way, not even bashing them, because I was out there, I was thugging my behind off. You know what I'm saying? In my 10 years, of course. But we was more about having a good time, making some money, and getting with some the prettiest lady in the vicinity. You know, that's what we was about. You know, I don't want to get too long-winded because I could go all day. So I'm gonna just leave it right there.
Lovely, lovely. You know, when I first heard it, it was just like song after song. I was like, wow, is this man, is this song just as good as the previous song? And like at the end of the album, I just thought, man, this is what I love. This is the hip hop that I love. I mean, I've no problem listening to some Griselda and some harder stuff and whatnot and just kind of zone out, listen to the beats and the vibe. But this is what I really love. Like thought provoking ideas over really dope, you know, boom bap production with the little interludes, but the interludes weren't too long. The skits weren't too long. Some skits go on. It's like, all right, come on, let's get back to the music. But it, everything fit. It flowed well, structured well. It's just like a very well put together album from, you know, sonically how it sounds to what you're saying. And it's an album. It's like, and that's why I ordered the CD, because it's like, man, I need to sit with this album and just be with it, you know, because there's just so much, you know, to unpack with it. So,
oh man, yeah. Shipping starts at the top of the week.
Oh, right on, man. Right on. I can't wait, man. I can't wait. So, Nick, I'm curious to know for you, you know, you're making these songs, but at one point, all the songs are done and the order is finished. At that point, did you listen to them all again, like in order, like as an album experience?
Yes. By the time I gave it to Rashid, like, so once I finished it and handed over the files to Rashid, I didn't listen to it. It was actually Rashid that was on me about, yo, this needs to come out. I was at that particular time, I was still creating. Like, I finished that album and I was still working. I was still working on like two other albums at the same time. And by the time we looking at all this music, you know, me and Rashid, we coming together, we talking about, you know, what, you know, our strategy, what we want to do, what we're going to release. He like, you need to release this right now. Like, it's ready. It's mixed. It's ready to go. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, I don't have any reason to hold this. And I was like, okay, I'll put it out. Literally, we got everything, you know, together. Got the artwork together, got the, you know, finalized part of the mixing, and we just put it out. It literally was like that. This is one of the first albums I didn't have a full on kind of mindset as far as strategy. It was just kind of like the strategy was just to get it out and just to present it as is, you know, and then eventually as it goes out, we work on everything else. But it was sitting for a while. I had it done. And it was Rashid who was the one on me, like, you need to get this out ASAP.
Thank you, Rashid.
And
no,
you
I,
did.
I want to chime in. Yeah. I'll just want to chime in real quick about the about what Nick was saying. Like, you know, when I first heard all the songs, especially after I went and put the touch on it, mixed it, you know, brought all the sounds together, all the frequencies together, and just listening back at it, I was like, yeah, this is an album. Like, this is a body of work, a body of art. So yeah, man. Yeah. Nick did his part, but you know, once I heard it, I came back at him immediately. Like, yo, this joint ready.
Yeah, for sure. Really, and Nick, you did some production on here. You did most of the production.
Yeah. Me and Rashid did all of the production for the most part.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Track 4.
Wow.
Carlton Sellers, I think it is.
Yeah.
Is that,
he
right?
Did.
Okay.
Yeah, he did. I'll probably let Rashid tell the backstory on that record. But yeah, Carlton did that.
Yeah. 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 You want to tell us the story on that, Rashid?
Oh, yeah, man. Is that famous? That's the joint with, yeah, Famous. So,
yeah.
The song, it sounded different. Let's say, like, let's put it like that, just to start off. The song sounded totally different than what y'all hear. You know, it had a lot of drums, you know, a very, you know what I'm saying, busy drum beat going. And I was like, you know what? I think we need to let that bass line breathe and all the guitars and stuff like that. Let all the instruments breathe and the vocals, of course, let Nick's vocals just tell the story. But it was a whole vibe there. So the drums, I brought the drums down. I wasn't sure if Nick was going to let me, you know, let that ride. But, you know, after he listened to it a few times, he's like, yeah, this, you right. You,
yeah,
you hit it on the head with this one. Yeah.
Producer's ear.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you just gotta trust your people, man. Yeah, and yeah. he told me, he was like, this is it. I listened to it. I loved it. I loved the other version too. But if you trust the people that you work with, and he was adamant about it, he said, man, this, I like this version. I said, that's what we're going with. We're going with the version that you're saying. Cause I know him. He has an amazing ear. Like, I'm not going against his ear. I trust his ear. So I said, that's what.
That's love dope, that. And that's why he is the executive producer on this album. Which is dope.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's dope. He also
all my stuff.
There's also two MCs on here that I just love. Add Two. You have Add Two on God's Vision and Fillmore Green, who we'll talk about in a little bit. But I love both of those MCs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, MCs.
That's like family, man. Like family. I mean, we've been coming up together doing this for a while and working together. So it's kind of like it's second nature. You start working on the record and you automatically hear them on it. Like all like Fillmore Add Two, heard them already before they finished it. And it's kind of like, you know, your people. So you know what they like, you know, it kind of gets them going. It was, well, the thing is about the one with Add, you know, that was a record that Rasheed produced. Had it done as soon as I sent it to him. He was over there probably in about 2-3 days, knocked it out. He loved it right off the bat. The one I did with Fillmore, I let him hear the version that I already had recorded vocals and everything on it. And just showing him, you know, you're showing people what you're working on. And he was like, don't let nobody get on that song. Like, leave a verse open for me. And I got to the point where I sent it to him and he sent it back, you know. That's kind of how his process is. If you hear something he like, don't let nobody touch it. Eventually he's going to get to it. So that's what he did.
That's dope. That's dope. And shout out to Fillmore Green, who's recently put out an excellent album as well with Apollo Brown. That album is nice. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But I want to throw it over to
Apollo Brown.
Yeah. Shout out Philly.
Yes. No doubt. I want to throw it over to Bo. He had a question about your song "Church Hurt," so take it away, Bo.
Man, that track really moved me, as a lot of them did, but that one in particular. And you had a line in there, and I don't want to butcher your lyrics, but is how you tell a youngin' God got him when every vice living came and gave him rock bottom. And I know art is subjective, but there's still intentionality in the writer. And the way I heard that reminded me of this idea called cruel optimism, where, you know, you tell somebody, keep your head up, but you're not willing to do anything to kind of work with them and help change their environment and do what you can to provide justice. And so kind of my question is that kind of in the ballpark of what you meant in those lines? And then if so, is there a story, are there stories behind that sentiment in your life?
Well, I would say, well, to answer your question, yes, that definitely was kind of in the ballpark of what I was attempting to convey. That line was it just brought in kind of like my experience of how elders would speak about God, right? It was kind of those things where no matter what you were going through, you could be going through hell. And the answer was pray about it. The answer was just talk to God about it. The answer was you'll be fine. Just keep praying. So it's like you're telling me to pray. You're telling me to reach out. You're telling me to ask God to deal with these things that I'm going through. But nothing in my reality is changing. It's like this, something's off here. The disconnect is off. But for the general context of the song, it's kind of a couple things. It's that sentiment, but it also speaks to bad teaching. I believe in Jesus Christ, head and savior of my life. That's my belief. I don't push that off on nobody, but I do understand why people don't believe it. And because it's because of bad theology. And that's kind of what the song was really aiming at, was there is a really toxic theology that gets taught, and there's also not enough attention to like the humanity of us. Like, you can't pray everything away. You can't just say God got everything. It's like, no, scriptures say faith without works is dead. So there has to be a strategy, a method, a way to go about your healing, a way to go about, you know, evolving as a human being. You can't just throw church at everything, because church is an institution. It's not God.
Right.
You know, man. It's just the church in and of itself, from a theological perspective, is just only a vehicle. But it's not the end all and be all, you know. Mm-hmm. So it was just kind of really talking about how people are getting hurt. They're getting damaged. They're getting psychologically, emotionally, you know, hurt through this church system. This toxic because of bad teaching, corruption, and just simply just bad theology. Like, so that's kind of where I was trying to capture with that whole song, especially with us as Black people. It's like, man, it's like God is everything. Like I said in the song, Granny paid tithes and died broke. Like, something's wrong with that.
Yeah. Like, absolutely.
Because I can understand somebody saying, I can understand somebody saying, well, you could have took that money and invested in real estate. You know, because she's taking that money and she's pouring into her church at the time. But if the church in and of itself, the church, that particular church is not stewarding those resources well, then it's a bad investment.
Yeah, absolutely. So absolutely.
It's like, how do we deal with that, though? You know, because people get hurt out of that. Then they say stuff like, I don't believe in God. No, I don't trust that. And it's really like, it's just people hurting people under the guise of God, you know, in that context.
I really appreciate that context, and it gets back to what you were saying about that opening track, is like, we're people, and you know, when it's, we're stripped down to just the core, we have the ability to hurt people pretty badly and teach them toxic things, or we have the ability to bring life, and it's a choice.
It is
for sure. Bro, anything else about the album, while we're still on the album?
Really want to give flowers really for it. One thing, when I first listened, it put me right in the mindset of the very first Digable Planets album. Right. And I had just had that as like album of the day, like a few days ago. And your tone put me in the sense of Butterfly, not the style, just the tone. And because I feel like you so cool with it, but you're very direct though. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you cool it's not even, you can tell, like, I feel like you in the tracks on that album were like this. You know what I mean? Like, together, like hand in glove, for real. It wasn't just rhymes over a beat. You know what I mean? Yep. So when I listened to it and I got to feel more green, like I had the phone like away from me. And then I didn't realize that it had already started back over again. And I was already listening to it a second time. And that intro caught me again. And it was just like, yeah, this is dope. And I was like, man, what does this remind me of? And then it was like, boom, that first Digable album, because of, it's like, you know, the instrumentation that's behind it. And you know, you got the Jedi Master God too, you know, working on the production. So I should have known. But yeah, man. But yeah, overall, man, I just want to give you props for it, man. And then being from the crib too. So, man, I'm like beyond impressed, brother. Like, man, God bless you, bro.
Thank you. I gotta give a shout out to the musicians that played on the album as well, because they brought it to life, you know. Mm-hmm. Carlton Sellers, who's a guitarist, Jeremy Jones on bass, Carolyn Davis on sax, you know, Kenneth Leffridge on sax, so many musicians, and just all of the features, you know, Fillmore, Add 2, No Lie Day, you know, George Wonson, who also was on guitar as well. So it was a group effort. You know, my process, we produce the records and then we bring in the people to help bring it to life and add that extra energy to it that's needed, you know?
Yeah.
So thank you.
Yeah, and speaking of Diggable Planets, Ian Charles is following along tonight, and he said that was interesting, profound. After you explaining it like that, I'm going to go hear Nick's album different my next time playing it. So shout out to Ian Charles. And I guarantee you Ian Charles has ordered probably the CD, the vinyl, the tape, the stickers, whatever
Hey, I love my man.
Yeah.
Hey, Ian is, he's so dope, man. Like,
yeah, man.
He is so genuine.
Yes.
About his support.
Yeah.
Like, my mans will go to any social media outlet and let you know, like, you need to be on this. He doesn't, yeah. If he's hearing me, yep. I want to thank you, because you don't have to do that. And I've seen you do it time and time again with my music and just in general, man. I love you. Thank you for your support. Man, Ian, you the man, dog.
He is, man. He
100%.
When we started this Boom Bap podcast, he was one of the very first. We used to have it just anyone could show up, and he was always there checking in. And so, yeah, big up Ian, to Ian.
Your album coming next week, bro.
Yeah, you got to send Ian's first. Anytime
shout out to him.
Yeah, get it out there, you know. So, yeah,
and shout out to
tuning in for the next show.
Oh, yeah.
What'd you say, Rashid?
Free tickets for Ian to the next show. We got you, man.
There you go, Ian.
Whenever we're in your town, man, we got you. We got you.
There you go.
We backstage with us, man. You rolling with us, man. When we in town. So,
yes.
Shout out definitely. To Ian, man. He,
yeah.
He be holding it down.
Yeah. So. Yeah. We're praying, definitely praying for him, and his recovery is going well. Yeah. I understand.
Absolutely. So,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. For sure. And what's crazy about Ian Charles is that if I had almost any other guest on tonight and his name came up, it would be the exact same reaction. You know what I'm saying? Like, he just gets so much love from artists because he, you know, sends so much love to the artist. So it's reciprocated. Yeah. So that's pretty cool. All right. If you're tuning in, please, please go get the album. It's called Die Word Sell by Neek. It's a super dope album. If you like boom bap, but it's not like, you know, some boom bap is like so boom bap. It's like, come on, this is the same boom bap beat I've heard for 20 years. This ain't it. This is fresh. It's so good. It's got live instrumentation. Yeah. It is just a really good musical album. And then Neek on top, floating around there like Butterfly from Diggable Planets,
man.
Dropping gem after gem. It's something to think about. It's just a really good album. So make sure you go get it, support. And get the album. So speaking of support and gratitude, Ian said, gratitude and humbled. I do my best to share the music and also support the Boom Bap Chat and everybody's hip hop label. We appreciate you, Ian. Thank you. So go get the album. We love to support and respect the music. And so what we would like to do, we usually do this thing called one word, Neek, but tonight I thought it would be fun to get into your brain to see who you are today through which album you gravitate towards more. All right. Yeah. So I'm going to show you two spectacular albums I want you to let us know which one you kind of gravitate towards more today. Not which one is better, but like which one is speaking to you more today. All right.
Does that make sense? I heard them.
If you have it, you can pass, man. It's all good. It's all good. All right. So, we're going to start close to home, all right? We're going to start close to home. So over here, we got Resurrection by Common. Well, back then, Common Sense, all right? So that's the first one. And then the next one is Like Water for Chocolate by Common.
Wow, Like Water for Chocolate.
Yeah? Yeah, how so?
Dilla.
Dilla, yes.
Dilla. Like Water for Chocolate was like, okay, just getting to heat, just the way Common was just, he was just in his shit. You know what I mean? Like, Common was at his style was kind of like at that particular time, like he just knew he was in his bag. And him and Dilla had like an amazing combination of, you know, beats, flows. But at, I mean, come on, you got the light on that. Like, it's just in the messaging, like just the way it's so pro-Black. Like, it's just like,
yeah,
it's unapologetically. I mean, that's common in and of itself in a nutshell. But I just think him and Dilla, man, their combination is lethal, super lethal.
Yeah, like, yeah.
It's something special.
Wow. Yeah. Definitely. Definitely. Okay. All right. Next one. I'm going to assume you've heard both of these, but we'll see. We'll see.
Hey, if I haven't, I'm going to say no.
We got Reasonable Doubt by Jay-Z and then 444 by Jay-Z.
No, Reasonable Doubt, man. I like 444, though.
I do too. Reasonable Doubt. Yeah.
A lot of people don't like it, but I actually liked it.
I liked it a lot.
Reasonable Doubt, man. Jay-Z sounds like he has something to prove on that album, obviously. So, I mean, the one thing that he let it be known on that album, just the undertone was like, yeah, there's Biggie, yeah, there's Nas, yeah, there's Wu, there's all these people, but I'm here and I'm worth it, you know. And he showed that was one of those albums where you loved it when you heard it, and then you went a couple years ahead and went back and was like, ooh, that was it was classic. I love feeling it. A Dead Presidents, come on now.
Yeah.
I mean, we get 22 twos. But yeah, it's reasonable.
The Evils,
Oh my god.
Oh man.
Primo. Ooh.
That might be my favorite.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah.
What's regret?
I think you mentioned 22 twos. I think that's my joint, 22 twos. But I like the entire album. All right.
Going back and forth. Oh my God.
Oh,
bro. All right. Going to the West Coast here. We got All Eyes on Me by Tupac. Mm-hmm. And then we got Me Against the World by Tupac. Mm-hmm.
Man.
I got it.
Yo, why? I knew y'all was gonna stress me out with one of these.
Live my life as a boss player to the day.
Come in, coach.
Yeah, talking about shed so many tears. Mom, you got Old School on there.
Tears, Me Against the World.
Yeah.
Is that Me Against the World? That's Me Against the World, yeah.
Oh shit! Oh yeah,
I got to go and Be Against the World, man.
Yeah,
I got to go. I mean that's not easy though. That's not easy, but I feel a level of authenticity on that album that it's hard to get away from. Mm-hmm. No.
Same.
So Many Tears, right. One of my favorite songs of all time.
Right.
Period.
Yeah.
I like that one.
I like that one. All right. We got one more this or that type, and then one album to comment on. So we got Danger Doom on this side, and Mad Villain on that side.
I never heard Danger Doom.
Okay, never so heard. We're gonna go with Mad Villain.
That's one of my favorite albums.
Yeah. What do you like? I figured you did. What do you like about this album?
Man, look. Obviously the combination of him and Madlib, but I think that one of my favorite beats of all time is on that album, Fancy Clown. So it's just, Dude was just so unorthodox. Like he's just one of those artists. Like he say anything come to mind, don't really care. It'll tie in when it ties in, but you got, oh my God, you got Rhinestone. What is that? You got, accordion. But it's just, I just loved his style of rhyming. I loved his pockets. I always loved Dude's pockets. He was one of those dudes that he would interline rhyme like the first bar and the fourth bar. So he'll rhyme on the first and you wouldn't hear the next rhyme to the fourth or the fifth. He's like, how did you tie that in? I never heard Danger Doom, so I gotta go with Mad Villain.
It's good. Yeah, that's a good album too. But America's Most Blunted might be my favorite beat on that album, man. On this album. Yep. Love that beat. Whole joint's dope. Okay. Last album I want to just get your comment on, see what you think about this album, since, you know, we got two Chicago heroes in the building. This is Cost of Living by Apollo Brown on the beats.
Oh, and why you going
green on the mic? I mean, this isn't a, you don't have to pick this or that. Yeah, I'm just curious to know what you think.
Y'all
about
gonna be
this
foul
album.
As hell if y'all pull up.
I thought you was about to pull up knowledge of power.
No, you know what they about to pull up right there. You got style.
No, no, I'm not pulling up anything. I just want you to know. I just want you to hear your thoughts on the album.
Well, I think
I should have put up your album. I don't have your album yet. If I had your CD in the mail already, I'd put your album up. Yeah.
I think that, well, first of all, I love that album. But I think just in a general context, I think that was Fillmore's epitome of being a storyteller. He took his time with those rhymes. Not to say he didn't take his time with his other ones, but with those, like, you can tell that he wanted to let people know, if you've never been to Chicago, if you have no idea what Chicago is, if you have no idea of the culture, the energy, the perspective here, that's it. If you want to understand Chicago from a, well, I don't even want to say from a West Side perspective, because I think he speaks for a lot of Black men in the inner city. That is it. And I think that if you want to know what Chicago is in and through in and of itself, that's the album you need to put on.
Yeah. High praise.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Rashid, any thoughts on this album? Love to get your two cents as well.
You know what I thought just about to pull up, though? I thought just about to pull up Chicago, a third world city.
Oh,
no, you know,
this album.
Yeah, don't do that. That's the time.
No, that would have been a good one, though. I ain't gonna lie, because, like, you know, like, actually listening back when we at first completed this album, like, before it had came out to the public and stuff, it made me go back to Third World City, and I'm sure other people did the same, you know. It's just like, man, let me go back to Third World City, pull that up. But man, this album right here, I just want to say Apollo Brown, first of all, one of my favorite producers. He really just tapped into, like, the feel of Chicago, you know, with the just sonically, the pictures that was painted through the beats, it reminds me of riding through K-Town. It reminds me riding down Magnificent Mile. It reminds me of being at Bucktown on a Friday night at 1 o'clock in the morning 15 years ago. Not today, but 10, 15 years ago. You know, it reminds me of going to Ford City. You know, I see all these things as I'm riding around listening to the beats, listening to the album. But, man, Fillmore, I'm telling you, he went out his way to just really, because one thing he want to do is leave his mark and leave a good impression on people. So, you know, every album we pushing harder. And I'm like, man, this the one, man. Let's go. Let's get in here.
Yeah.
You know, let's make this happen. So, and that's exactly what he did. He delivered. He wrote all the lyrics. We went to Detroit. Recorded the whole album in 3 days, you know.
Oh wow!
So that's dope. Yeah, man.
Great album.
It was amazing production. Yeah, beginning of it, you know.
Yeah, two of the best albums out right now, in my opinion, are from Chicago. Your album, Neek, and that album right there. Yeah, two of the best. So, before we give our shout outs and get out of here, I am curious to know. On your website, and then there's like a few shorts on YouTube about this. I'm like, how can I learn more? There's something that you're working on, I believe, called a film called Black with Cam B. Is that right?
Yeah. Can
you tell us about that?
It started off as a collaborative album. Neek and Cam B, album title, film called Black. But we had so much great chemistry in the studio. You know, the things we were creating, I said, man, this is actually a group name. And we just came together and formed a group entitled a film called Black. So now it's self-entitled. So it's an album that's coming on. Rashida is a part of that album. We got Skyzoo, he's on that album. We that is another community album. We got a lot of dope people on the, you know, in Chicago, Sam Thousand, Yao, Add To. We got a lot of special features on there. But it's really a really good album. It's a really musical album. We got a lot of really dope elements on that project. So I can't wait for people to hear that. But it's just kind of like that album is just kind of an extension of Daruzel, if you will. And it happened by accident, you know, where we're talking about like, what is Black? What does it mean to you? How do you identify with it, you know, across all cultures and societies, you know? And we're just kind of interpreting that through the music. And then we also going to do it. It's going to be an evolving film that goes along with it.
That's dope. Do you have an idea of when you're going to release it?
No. Soon, though. Sooner than later. Sooner than later. Right.
I know Rashid's going to have to get at you again and be like, yo, you got to put this out.
Oh, no. Rashid, you know, if I start bugging him, he know. He like, okay, he wants something out.
We still working.
Now, is there more? I know you mentioned a film with it. I also saw something about a panel discussion and a live band. Was that just a one-time thing, or is there going to be an ongoing kind of tour, panel discussion, live band set type of thing with this?
Yeah, that was that first event with the performance and the panel. That was a part of a residency we had here with the University of Chicago and the Greenlaw Performing Arts Center. So that was kind of like our introduction of what a film called Black was. So we just basically brought our fans together and just introduced ourselves. So eventually what we're going to do is when the album does come out, that's kind of going to be the theme. You know, we're going to have shows around it, but we also want to build the conversation around it. That way that we can kind of extrapolate these ideas in the album and kind of talk about them. In a public platform, you know, from professionals, you know, clinical professionals, this in our network of people that we're building with, to kind of expand on these concepts, and how it affects us every day.
I love that. I would love to participate in a show that is part live performance, part discussion. I think that's a great idea. I love things like that. So
first one we had was sold out, man. We was like, we was looking around like, okay, people like this.
Yeah.
Keep it going.
Hey. All right. Right on, man. We need to get some funds together and get you to Cincinnati and Indianapolis and wherever Profound's living out in Nevada and everywhere else we're we're spread.
Let's make it happen, man. Let me come out there with y'all.
Yeah, right on. Right on. Well, listen, you know, it's the hip hop show, so we always give shout outs at the end. We'll give some and then we'll turn it over to you, Rashid and Neek, for the final shout outs. Is that cool? Is there anything else you wanted to talk about tonight?
Nah, that's it for me, man. Other than, you know, like I said, just always want to honor the space that I'm in, man. So thank you all again for having me. Don't have to have me. You could have had anybody else, but I really appreciate and love y'all for inviting me on to have me a part.
Yeah, no doubt. Feelings mutual. And, we'll give some shout outs and then we'll turn it over to you for the final shout out. So Bo Brown, who you got a shout out tonight to?
Man, I want to give a shout out to a friend, distant friend, but I don't know if he's watching tonight, but Otis Moss III, pastor of Trinity Church there in Chicago. He's been a real influence on my life and I think throughout Chicago too.
Right on. Thanks, Bo. Bro, how about you?
Man, I'm shouting out the grandson, man. His birthday, he'll be one next Thursday, and we ain't on the air. So I'm going to give Kai, little baby pro, little grandson, I'm going to give him a shout-out. We're going to give Neek a shout-out, too, for coming through, man. Like, brother, your vibe definitely matches what the album is, man. Like, you're incredible. I'm sad that I didn't even come across you when I was back at home. But I know who you are now, so it's all good. And plus, you with the homie Rashid, so... Man, much love and respect to you, man, and thank you for coming through. You too, Rashid.
Thank you.
No doubt.
Thank you.
No doubt. Since Chicago's in the building, and I want to give a shout out to Phil Jackson, not the coach, but the pastor Phil Jackson. hit me up recently, so looking forward to connecting with you. Shout out to Murder Megs and the other guys who are going to be on the show here soon, so shout out to them. And shout out to Ayomas Murad, also from Chicago, couldn't be here with us tonight. He's getting his schooling on, but shout out to him and the rest of the crew, Joe November and Stole the Last. So shout out to you guys. And last, but you know, obviously not least, shout out to you guys, Rashid. Thank you for being here, coming through tonight, and for your involvement on this album is so good. Neek, thank you for making this album and giving it to the world. And thanks for just coming by tonight and sharing a little bit of yourself with us tonight. Really appreciate it. And anything we can do to help further get the word out, we'll be promoting it. And once I get the CD, I'll be talking about it, you know, a lot more as well. So we'll do what we can. So, yeah, thank you. So I'll turn it over to Rashid and then Neek for the final shout outs.
I'll send a shout out to y'all. You know, and also Ayomas. I know he's not on here, but shout out all y'all. Thank y'all for having me and Neek on here. And we appreciate the love, man. You know, shout out Fillmore, Apollo. You know, shout out the whole family. Shout out everybody, man. You know, just stay tuned. We got even more music coming. So this is what we do, man. This is our love. This is what we love to do. We love putting out, and we love getting love for our work. You know, it's nothing better than, you know, putting your heart and soul into something that you believe in, and then, you know, people relate to you and rock with you. So, excuse me. So, thank you. Appreciate that on this fine 420.
Earth Day, right?
That's right.
Right on. All right, Neek, who you got a shout out tonight?
Man, I just want to give a shout out first and foremost to the Creator God for allowing us to be here and be present, be in each other's space, to enjoy each other's time and energy. Without him, we wouldn't be here. So I'm grateful for that. I want to give a shout out for everybody who gave Daruzel a spin, who decided to take the time out of their day to press play, listen to it. And really, you know, I'm really thankful, you know. There's so much music dropping every day, you already know, but to be able to tap in and really, you know, tap into the album, I'm very appreciative of that. Another special shout out to Rashid Hadi, my man right here, who made the album what it was and what it is. Without him, a lot of what I do musically would not happen. So I love you, brother. Thank you for always having my back and and supporting me in that way. And just a shout out to everybody that's living their dreams, man. That's not caring about anything other than doing what they love and care about what they love and doing it unapologetically. We only got one life to live, man. Don't waste time. Don't do what other people want you to do. Do what's in your heart and do what you feel compelled and called to. That's it.
Right on. Beautiful. Thanks, fellas. Indeed. And on that note, we say peace.